Let's go back to 1 John chapter 5. Now, here lately, with prayers that we have asked God and then witnessed how that the Lord has answered those prayers with Brother Robbie and Sister Debbie and concerning Chloe, prayer has been on my heart quite a bit lately. The subject of prayer. And if God will enable me in the coming weeks, I want to try to show from Scriptures some of the things that God declares about prayer, which He's shown us lately in this latest trial. Tonight, we're going to see from Scripture one of the things we've experienced recently. Our text is here in 1 John 5, verses 13 through 16. Now, the Apostle John tells us to whom he wrote this epistle. He says in verse 13, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." This is written to you who believe. All these things he's been writing throughout this epistle, he's written to believers. And then he gives his first purpose for writing these things. He says, verse 13, "that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God." He wrote this epistle so that every believer may have assurance, may have confidence that you not only believe on the Lord Jesus, but that you have eternal life. So you know you have eternal life. You have confidence in Christ that you have eternal life. And since you have that confidence, you'll press on believing on Christ more and more with more and more confidence in Him. Now, I want every believer here to get this settled in our hearts. Get this settled in your heart. If you have Christ, if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting Him as your salvation, having done everything needed for you so that God receives you in His person apart from anything you've contributed or shall ever contribute, if all your confidence is Christ only, then you have eternal life. You have eternal life. Look at 1 John 5:11. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life. This is a free gift of God by His grace. We didn't merit this. We didn't contribute. This was a free gift of God. God has given to us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. Christ is all and has done all that is necessary. He's the wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption of you who trust Him. He that hath the Son hath life. The problem most people have with assurance is they start trying to find it in themselves. That would be assurance in you. Our confidence is Christ. Our confidence is Christ. Is your confidence Christ? You believe what God says concerning His Son? That He is our salvation? He's our confidence. We rest in Him. And he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now this is important because the more confident we are that we have eternal life in Christ, the more our confidence is that Christ is our eternal life. We have eternal life in Christ. The more confident we are in this, the more confident we'll be for this next thing that John wants us to know. John wants you to know that the Lord hears our prayer. Notice the connection between confidence in Christ for salvation and confidence that Christ hears us when we call on Him. Notice the connection here. 1 John 5:13. "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may have all confidence in the name of the Son of God." That's what he's saying there. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. You see, unless I have confidence in Christ, my salvation, then I won't have confidence that Christ really and truly hears me when I pray. They're vitally connected. The more confidence I have that Christ is all my salvation, the more confidence I'll have that Christ really hears me when I call on Him. And the more we have confidence in Christ, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us, then we know this, too. This is the next thing He wants us to know. Not only that He hears us, but that we have our petition. Look, verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I've titled this, The Petition We Desire of Him. The chief petition that we desire of God is that His will be done. That's our chief petition. That's our chief prayer. Thy will be done. God hears the prayer of His child when we ask according to His will. When we pray for God's will to be done, God hears our prayer. And therefore, when that's our chief petition, when that's your chief prayer, God's will be done, whatever we're asking, the moment you ask it, you have your petition. You have it. Before it's ever even come to pass, you have it. Because the only thing that's going to be done is God's will. Now, first of all, we must approach Christ's throne of grace with confidence in Christ. He says there in verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in Him. You see, confidence to approach Christ in prayer begins with confidence in Christ, my salvation. That's where my confidence at the throne of grace begins, with confidence in Christ, my salvation. Now, the unbelieving man, a man that has no faith in Christ, has no confidence in Christ for salvation, that man can crawl on God all he wants to. God's not going to hear him. James said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith. Nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. But those that believe on Christ. I'm not talking about quantity of faith or quality of faith. I'm talking about, like Christ said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you trust He is your wisdom, your righteousness, your sanctification, and your redemption. You trust He is your salvation. Now that man, he will hear. You have confidence in Christ. No confidence in yourself, but your confidence is in Christ. You know what the fact of the matter is? The man who sees himself so weak and so sinful and so inconsistent that he can't possibly be a child of God, that man ought to have more confidence in Christ than anybody. He's the greatest proof that salvation is by Christ and not by us. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, we may with confident faith say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Confidence in Christ through faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit has borne witness in our heart. He that believeth hath the witness in himself. The Holy Spirit's borne witness in our heart that by Christ's one offering, He has perfected forever all them that God sanctified in divine election in Christ. He perfected all His people by one offering. So there's no more offering for sin. We don't have to do anything else to try to make up for our sin with God. It's accomplished. And so the Holy Spirit tells us this now. You can come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, having therefore, brethren, boldness, the confidence of faith, the assurance of faith,
having boldness, liberty, welcome access to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way which He's consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, through His flesh, by Him laying down His life on the cross. He's talking about us coming to God in prayer. He says, having boldness, having this confidence in Christ now, and having a high priest over the house of God, somebody that's there that's going to speak to God for us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. You know what that is? That's having no confidence in ourselves. That's having absolute zero trust in ourselves and our trust in the Lord. Come with full assurance in Christ, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. You know, the first thing, I'm going to show you how that your faith doesn't have, you don't, it's not how much you know, it's not the quantity of your faith or how great your faith is, and I can prove that to you. You know, the first thing a child of God does when God's given him life, and He's convinced him of his sin and his need for Christ, you know what the first thing he does? He prays to the Lord Jesus. He approaches Him in faith. The very first thing. What was it that Christ said to Ananias to comfort him concerning Saul of Tarsus? Ananias was scared to go to him. I've heard of this man. He's killing believers left and right. The Lord said, behold, He prayeth. What was the first thing that publican in the Lord's parable? What was it that he did? He prayed, saying, Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. And the Lord heard him. The Lord heard. It's not how much you know. It's not how well you're performing. It's none of those things. It's confidence in the Lord. Confidence in the Lord. Confidence in Christ. Christ said, all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. Faith in Him. Through faith in Him. When Christ is your confidence of salvation, then you have the confidence to come to His throne of grace for help in time of need. Do you believe you can come to Christ? You believe He's the only one that can help you in your time of need? That's confidence. That's having assurance of faith that He's the only one that can help me. And so if you have not done so, cast all your care on Christ. Put all your confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust Him alone. And everybody that has confidence in Christ for our salvation, he has life. He that hath the Son hath life. And when He's your confidence, you can come to the Lord in prayer. When He's the confidence of your salvation, you can come to His throne of grace with confidence. Now, secondly, knowing Christ ever lives to make intercession for us, knowing we have welcome access through Christ, having our confidence in Christ, we have confidence that He'll hear us. He will hear us. You believe He'll hear you? Believe Christ will hear you. Look at this, verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him. This is not so of just some believers. This is so of every believer. This is the confidence we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. He heareth us. Now notice the qualifier. If we ask anything according to His will. Now, this applies to this verse and the next verse. I'll show you that when we get to the next one. But here's what Christ taught us. After this manner, therefore, pray you. Our Father, which is in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. But it's more than simply saying, thy will be done. Many, many pray a form of prayer and say, thy will be done. It's more than that. One, asking God according to God's will is to come to God through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's to pray to God in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, in His authority, as the mediator, as the high priest, as our intercessor. It's to come to God with cry or through Christ, based on Christ's authority. God's promised to hear Him. And He's promised to meet with us in Him. And to come to God according to God's will is to come through faith in His Son, in His name. Because that's God's will, for us to come in the name of Christ. We pray in Christ's name when we submit to His authority as our intercessor, as our mediator, to be the only one that can present us to God. That's praying in His name. That's more than even just saying, "In Thy name we pray." It's coming with that assurance that He's the one that's going to present us to God. That's God's will, to come through the name of Christ. So that's the first thing this is, praying, asking God according to His will, is asking in His Son, in the name of His Son. And two, asking according to God's will is to pray with a heart that's in submission to God's will. Submission, first of all, to His revealed will, which is revealed in this word right here. We see God's will by reading what this word says. That's where you see God's will. There's some particular things that God is willing for His people to pray for. He speaks of a brother afflicted in the last chapter of James. He says, if a brother's afflicted, pray for him. If a brother is sick, pray for him. If a brother's fallen into sin, pray for him. These are things you come and ask particularly. Lord, will you bless this brother who's sick? He goes on. I'm not going to go into 1 John 5, 16, but he talks about a brother there who has fallen into sin. And he says, pray for that brother. That's God's will. There's some things that we see that are God's will for us to pray for. Those are things we pray for in particular. For the gospel to go forth effectually. For Christ's preacher to speak with boldness the gospel. Those are things we know God's willing to grant us if we pray for those things. That's God's will. But then there are things that is secret. God's will that's secret. The will of His providence, those things He's predestinated. We don't always know everything what is God's will. When it comes to things start happening in our life, we don't know specifics of what God's will is in those things. There are things that are hidden, but we're in submission to God's will being done in those things. Whatever He does, our heart's submissive to it. That's what we want to happen. Because when the Spirit of God gives you a new heart, He gives you a broken and a contrite heart. And a broken and a contrite heart is submissive to God's will. We want God's will to be done in everything because we know that by His will, He's going to bring glory to His name. And above all things, that's what we want. We want God to glorify His name. And we want God's will to be done. Now, at times, we pray in our flesh. And we ask God for things that are just fleshly desires that we want. And when we do that, the Lord doesn't give us what we ask for. James said, you ask and receive not because you ask amiss. And here's how we ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. It's just a fleshly, earthly thing we want. It could be something dear, but it's something that we pray for that is just a fleshly desire. But even then, God hears His child. He even hears us then. And though He doesn't give us what we prayed for, the Spirit of God makes us pray. And Christ hears the Spirit of God, and He makes intercession for us. Turn to Romans 8:26.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You see, even when we're not praying as we ought to pray, the Spirit of God makes intercession for us. And then Christ, who knows the mind of the Holy Spirit, He makes intercession for us. Look at verse 27. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of God the Holy Spirit, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He takes that which is not according to the will of God, and He presents it according to the will of God for His child. And so that's why we read He's able to save them that to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He takes that prayer that's amiss, and He makes it right before God. He intercedes for us before God. There's so much we don't know. We don't know what to pray for as we ought. There's so many things. And I really, sometime in the near future, I hope I can have this message. I want to preach to you from that text concerning Lazarus being raised from the dead. But one thing I love in that passage is Mary and Martha sent their petition to the Lord Jesus. And this is what they sent to Him. He whom thou lovest is sick. That was their prayer to the Christ. He whom thou lovest is sick. That was it. They didn't say anything else they wanted. They based it on His love for Lazarus, and they left it there. They left it with Him. He whom thou lovest is sick. The wisest thing for us to do is to lay our petition before God, asking His will be done, and leave it with Him. Brother Adam, you know when little Sean comes to you, and I know he'll come up to me sometime and ask me something. I don't understand what he's asking for. And I'm sure he'll come to you, Adam, and he'll say something to you, and maybe he's not asking you for what he really ought to be asking you. But you hear him. You know why? Because that's your son coming to you, looking to you to do what's best for him. That's what he's talking about here when he's talking about us coming to God, asking according to His will. God hears us because we're His little child, just weak and little and frail and just like that little boy. But God hears because we're His son, His child, His daughter, coming to Him to do for us what is best. That's submission to His will. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Just like you hear your children. Now here's the last thing. Not only does God hear us when we ask according to His will, we have our petition. Look at verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, now you can make a note right here. If we know that He hear us when we ask according to His will, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, this is not what vain religion says about this. We're not talking about God giving you a new car and a new house and riches and just for the asking. You just ask it and God will give it. And then they guilt the person that's asking. Well, if you don't have it, it's because you don't have enough faith. That's not what we're talking about here at all. The point of this passage is if we ask anything according to God's will, then we know that whatever we're asking, we have right then our petition because God's will shall be done. If you're asking according to God's will, God will hear you.
And not only will He hear you, if you ask according to God's will, it doesn't matter what you're asking. If you're asking God's will to be done in any situation, whatever it is that you're asking, right then, when you ask God's will to be done, you have what you've asked for. Because that's what God's going to do. Go over to Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. And while you turn there, I want to just remind you of some things. From eternity, God predestinated all things for His people, all blessings for His people in Christ according to His will. He blessed us with all blessings in Christ according to His will. And He predestinated all things. Having predestinated us to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His will. He predestinated us to receive the Spirit of adoption, the appointed hour. He predestinated our redemption at Calvary. And He used wicked men with wicked hands did whatsoever He had determined before to be done. And that's how Christ redeemed us from all our sin. Because He predestinated it. He sent us the gospel by His will. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will. According to His good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. And it says, and in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. That means nothing shall change God's will. Nothing. In Isaiah 46:10, He says, God declares the end from the beginning. From ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, I will do all my pleasure. Yea, I've spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. Nothing changes God's will. Now, why then do we pray? What's the purpose then of praying? If nothing's going to change God's will, why pray? Be sure to get this. God uses prayer to make His child submit to God's will. That's why. God uses the means of prayer, not for us to change God, for God to change us, to bring us into submission to His will. He makes us ask that God's will be done. Now, I want you to look here in Ezekiel 36 at all these things God said He will do. These are just like those things I read to you now from Ephesians 1. Now listen to this. Verse 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. And a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh. And I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you. And cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. And you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanness, and I will call for the corn, and will increase it, and lay no famine upon you, and I will multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Now that's a promise of God to you and me sitting right here, right now. This is what God is willing to do. This is His will that shall stand and can't be changed. Look at verse 36. Then the heathen that are left round about you shall know that I, the Lord, build the ruined places and plant that was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will yet for this be inquired of by the house of Israel to do it for them. God says, I will do this, but you're going to ask me to do my will. Everything He just spoke about is God's predestination. This is what God has predestinated that shall come to pass. And this is God who works all things after the counsel of His own will. Men going around saying, prayer changes things. Well, it don't change God. He doesn't change God's will. He said, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my good pleasure. So then who does prayer change? It changes God's people. It brings you into submission to God's will. We'll either be brought into submission and bow to God's way of salvation, God's way of predestination, God's way of providence, everything according to God's will, and we'll bow to God's will, or we'll go on boasting about our will, and God will send us to hell. That's it. You're going to bow to God, or you're going to perish. But see, for His child, God will bring us into submission to God's will. He said, I'm going to cause you to walk in my step. I'm going to cause you to walk in my predestinated ordinances that I've already determined to be done, that I'm bringing to pass every second of every day. I'm going to make you walk in my will, God said. See, prayer is God making His people submit our will to God's will. And so we know that He hears us. If we know He hears us when we pray according to His will, then whatsoever we ask according to His will, we know right then we have the petition that we've asked for. When we ask God's will be done, and whatsoever it is we ask, from that moment we have the petitions we desired of Him. Now, brethren, all of us ask God's will be done toward little Chloe. All of us ask God's will be done toward her. I heard you pray here, asking God's will be done. That was your heart and that was your prayer. Came out in your prayer. That was my heart and it came out in our prayer. Lord, your will be done. Now, our will was for Him to heal her. That's what we wanted. But we prayed, when we prayed that, we prayed, God, thy will be done. And since our desire was God's will being done, we had our petitions that we desired of Him right then when we prayed for it. Because that's all that God was going to do was His will. God's will is the only thing God does. But what if it had been God's will not to heal her? It would have been right. And it would have been best. And God would have given us grace to submit to His will. I've seen that happen with some dear brethren where everybody prayed, God's will be done, and Lord, we ask You to heal this person if it's Your will. But it wasn't His will. But we got what we asked for. God did His will. And He gave everybody involved grace to submit to His will. If what we ask is not God's will, God won't give His child what we ask. If what we're asking is not God's will, He will not give us what we're asking. But by God doing His will, God makes us submit to His will, and He teaches us what is best, and He gives us what we really want, and brings us to rejoice in it. I'll give you a couple of examples. Paul said, lest I should be exalted above measure through all this abundance of revelation, God gave me a thorn in the flesh. And he said, and I prayed, I asked God 3 times to remove it. And God didn't remove it. It wasn't God's will to remove it. But by not removing it, God taught him, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul was brought to say, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That was better for Paul than if God would have removed the thorn in the flesh. He said, I take pleasures in infirmities. Therefore, because God didn't remove it, I take pleasure in infirmities, reproaches, necessities, persecution, distresses for Christ's sake. Because when I'm weak, then I'm strong. But just imagine if God had given Paul what Paul wanted. Paul would have been puffed up in the flesh. He would have never known God's grace is sufficient. He would have never found out that when he's weak, then he's strong because Christ is his strength. He wouldn't have known those things. By God doing his will, Paul found out much greater rejoicing
in the Lord than he would have had otherwise. Sometimes you young people, you set your affection on things that your parents give you. You give a child, you know, they give you a video game. And you got your affection so set on that video game that when your parents call you to do a chore, do this or that, you don't show them any reverence because you're focused on that game. And so your parents take away the video game and you start begging them to have it back. Just like we beg God for things that He's taken from us or something He's chasing us with in this life, and we start asking God for it. But your Father knows you don't really want the video game. That's not what you really want. So your Father's done, He don't give you what you're asking for. Because that's not what you really want. And by not giving you what you asked for, He gave you what you really want. Because you really want a faithful Father who loves you and does what's best for you. And that's what He gave you instead. And that's how it is with God. The psalmist said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily God hath heard me." When he talks about God hearing us, he's talking about God giving what we asked for. God hath not heard me. If I regard iniquity, if what I'm wanting is just to consume it on my lust, God will not hear me. He will not grant me that. But in not granting me that, he says, "Verily God hath heard me. And he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me." In other words, by God not giving us what we asked for, that's some of the greatest blessings we could have from God. By God doing his will rather than our will, we're given a faithful Father. And that's what we really want. That's what we really want. Our Lord said, "If a son shall ask bread, if you have a son and he asks of you bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks fish, will you give him a serpent? If he asks for an egg, will you offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Sometimes he gives us something totally opposite to what we ask him, but it's better than what we ask him for. In the Garden of Gethsemane, our Lord Jesus Christ was praying right. He was praying in the right spirit. He was praying for the right thing. And this was his prayer. "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou will." And so God our Father did his will. He didn't make the cup pass from our substitute. Instead, he made him sin for his elect. He made him a curse for us. God answered his prayer by doing what he asked God to do. God did his will. Was it better? Was it better than if he had taken that cup from him? By giving him his will, by God doing his will, just as our substitute asked, God brought glory to his name in the salvation of all his elect people when Christ justified us from our sins on Calvary's cross. Oh, it was so much better, wasn't it? That's how it is every time. Every time. If we pray for something, this really hits home when we deal with our children or our loved ones and death. If it's a believer, brethren, and he doesn't heal them physically, he's made them altogether whole. That's far better. And that's far better than giving us what we wanted. And whatever it is, anything less than that, whatever it is, just like on the cross, whatever God's willing to come to pass is always better than what it was that we may have been asking for when we said, "But thy will be done." So when we ask that, "Thy will be done," we all should ask, "Lord, and if your will is something that's going to hurt me, will you give me grace to submit to your will? Because I need that." But I know this about our Lord. If he does something and it's going to hurt you, it's always going to be better for you. It's always going to be more for his glory, for our good. But at the time, it hurts. But I know this, if he does that, he'll give you grace to bear that. He will give you grace to bear that. So this helps us understand all those different promises of God concerning prayer. He said in one place, whatever we ask, we receive of him. He says, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. But now you see what he's talking about. It's going to always be according to God's will. And it's always going to be for the betterment, the edifying of his people. Do you always want to know you have the petition that you desire of God? Do you always want to know you have the petitions that you're praying for? Then let this be the petition we desire. God, thy will be done. If that's our petition, he says, this is the confidence we have that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us, whatsoever we ask according to his will, we know we have the petition that we desired of him. He knows what's best. He's going to do what's good for his glory and for our good. Because what we really want above everything else is a faithful heavenly Father. And that's what he's going to be to his people. Amen.